Have you ever noticed how important food is? This last fall at an Indiana University football game, I was sitting in the stands with my son. Something about rather uncommon was about to happen. Indiana was about to score a touchdown. And lo and behold, my son John requests a couple of bucks to go and get a hot dog. John, the Hoosiers are about to score. Response: Dad, I'm hungry. It makes one think about the importance of food. We'll miss all kinds of stuff to eat. You've been on trips like I have and have heard these self-imposed rules and commandments and statutes. Let's stop. I'm hungry. I gotta eat. The fact of the matter is that oftentimes commandments are food. They are good things. And so it was in the middle of the desert that the people of Israel were complaining. Boy, wasn't it good eating back there. The list of the menu is in Numbers. Cucumbers and leeks, melons. And what do we have in this godforsaken sandpit? Manna. That's it. This tasteless manna. And so God causes Moses to say something like this: And when you enter into that promised land, you will remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. I suppose we think about those kinds of things during Lent, which defines more than any other season the reality of Christian sojourn. And in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of our life, even in the midst of those moments of ecstasy when something good is going to happen and those downsides when nothing seems good, God invites us to stop off and gives us to eat his own body and his own blood. A temporary, in the time zone we live in, a temporary respite. Take and eat, take and drink before you go on your way. At the same time, a token of the eternal destiny to which he invites us precisely therein and thereby. To eat and to drink. I think God puts these desires in our bodies as sacramental signs, as it were, for what he intends all along. We like to eat and we like to drink. I know if I go to somebody's house for a party and they don't have anything, I'm searching for the next one. And that's how it is in God's house. He never disappoints. He gives us to eat and to drink his very word. The statutes and the commandments of the desert, betokened by this tasteless manna, have been in the light of Easter, which transfigures this Lent, has been transfigured into the very person of his own Son, the bread from heaven, the respite of the weary, the Savior of the world. I suppose, at least I would like to think, that the next time I'm hurrying on the way to the Colorado Mountains and in the wasteland of western Nebraska, my son says it's time to eat, he'll be truer to what it means to be human than his dad, who wants to get as quickly as he can to the upper level snows. To eat and to drink with our families and our friends with prayer is itself a token of the divine Eucharist to which he binds himself. I think that's why, after chapel, we have coffee and donuts. At least that's how I see it. May God grant to you the pleasure of eating and drinking in the moments of this life and eternally through the blood and the body of his Son, the heavenly bread from heaven that gives life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.